From all corners of the globe to your ears, it's the Midnight Movie Cowboys. Sometimes informative, sometimes controversial, but always unpredictable. It's the Midnight Movie Cowboys podcast with your hosts, Hunter, John, and Stu. And now, on with the show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Midnight Movie Cowboys. I am Hunter in Dallas. Joining me in the Rocky Mountain High of Colorado is Mr. John Gray. Say hello, John.
Hello.
And joining us from a concentration camp in Australia is Mr. Stuart Bulk. Say hello, Stu.
Melbourne, to be exact.
Yeah, Melbourne, that's right.
The central war zone at the moment. It's all happening.
So when are you and Lord Humongous going to hook up and get on the cars and stuff like that? I mean, it's happening. This is the time.
I tell you, anything in confidence with you is absolutely pointless. I tell you these things in confidence outside of the recording, and then it's like, oh, what do you hook up with Lord Humongous?
Tell everybody.
Me and Cajole Thor Nielsen are hooking up at his store in Strathmore right now, and I'm recording from a secret location, aka his hi-fi audio store, wink, wink. And yeah, we're going to fix this, nip this in the bud.
Very good.
But it's oh man. Yesterday, day three of riots, then an earthquake in the morning. Then all the other shit, don't get to work last night. Then the fire alarm goes off and I've got to descend 14 fucking flights downstairs when I've had no sleep. So yesterday was a Hodorowsky, couldn't have written it better.
Yeah, positively biblical.
Not to mention also being in an unbelievably foul mood yesterday. Really, is anything, just one bad look and, you know, if I was a Scientologist, I probably would have thrown you in the hole for 10 years.
It's appropriate that we're doing the movie we're doing today, because in the movie we're talking about today, John Cleese gets killed by anti-vaxxers. So...
John Cleese and his capped teeth.
Yeah. Okay. So the movie we're doing is Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, directed by Kenneth Branagh, and directed by and starring Kenneth Branagh. I've seen this movie a few times. I had no clue that was John Cleese until this viewing.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't know that was him because his teeth are so weird.
Okay. I'm going to give you a little bit of a clue. All right. Listen closely. There's a thing that they have at the start and the end called credits with names. Okay, it's really useful.
You gotta read them, Hunter.
I'm too busy. I'm too busy talking to Jim Steranko on Twitter. You know,
popcorn or whatever you're about buying. You know, sodas or freedom fries.
No, I remember seeing his name on the credits the first time I watched it, and just him, that role just passing right by me. Like,
okay, so the tallest guy in the whole film, who's 6'4". Has that distinctive voice, and you're like, oh, they have to put John Cleese's name here as a giggle. He's not really in it.
The thing is, he's the tallest guy in the...
John, can we just get rid of him and just mean you do a Mike Hammer film right now?
Yeah.
can I speak to somebody who's actually got some sort of film savvy, please?
but here's the thing is, John Cleese is the tallest man in this movie, and he's not playing the monster. The biggest manlet in the movie is playing the monster, Robert De Niro.
With lifts.
There's caffeine, energy drink, and what else have I got here with me? What's this fucking thing called? A testosterone boosting powder. Rant coming about that, which I take it in about 15 minutes time. About that. Carry on, sir.
Oh, all right. So it's just funny to me, you know, Robert De Niro plays the monster and he's tiny little guy, you know, in lifts. And John Cleese, meanwhile, the Ministry of Funny Walks guy, he's just a doctor who tries to vaccinate someone and gets killed. It looks a lot like Australia right now in certain scenes in that movie.
It looks a lot like what's happened in Melbourne right now, literally in the last, you know, couple of hours. yeah.
So
anything that Kenneth Branagh could have dreamed up for Frankenstein from the source material by Mary Shelley is not matching what's happening in Melbourne right now. Fuck that. It's not even close.
Yeah. Yeah. It's way more wild, way more intense. So this movie, I remember I first saw it in high school. We watched it in English class, and our teacher, he rolled it out going, we were reading Frankenstein at the time, and he goes, hey, there's a movie that purports to be faithful to the Frankenstein novel. And really? I know some of you are going to watch it, and I know some of you are going to not read the book. So we're going to watch it in class, and I'm going to make fun of it the whole time.
that's a good teacher.
Yeah, yeah, we watched the whole thing, and he just mocked it the entire movie.
How could you not?
And I remember I would see this at Blockbuster all the time. Mm-hmm. And the VHS cover had like shirtless Kenneth Branagh, like making out with in one of those, like with Helena Carter, one of those like hot 90s, like at sex scene shots, you know,
the shirtless scene with him when he was regenerating, or giving life to Frankenstein. That was a, hey ladies, look at this. I'm not just a Shakespearean actor. I'm also ripped as shit.
Oh yeah. Kenneth Branagh's ego is out of control in this movie. Completely out of control.
Unbelievable.
I mean, Branagh, when he made Henry V, he's in the Royal Shakespeare Company. He's a erudite man of culture. But then Henry V hits and Hollywood lets him in. And then he starts going, you know what? I am a sexy beast. You know what? I am a filmmaker.
He's a great film. I mean, Henry V is awesome. I love that film, man. It's so good.
No doubt. But you know, it's kind of like, look at Henry V and then go to Hamlet. And you kind of go, all right, this guy's out of control. Like, he needs to be stopped.
Yeah, but then he reined it in the early 90s with a film. I can't remember if he was in it. If he was, it was briefly. It was Dead Again.
Oh, yeah, that was his second movie, was Dead Again.
I saw it in theaters. I was really impressed how much I enjoyed that film.
Yeah, he hadn't gone nuts yet. Like, you know, I think Frankenstein was where he was a little out of control.
Yeah.
Because this is also the movie that wrecked his marriage with Emma Thompson.
Lesbianism wrecked that marriage.
Well, he had an affair with Helena Bonham Carter on the set.
All right,
of this movie.
I've got a rant about her. What do you all think about her? To me, she's as plain as shit.
I think I think the only way she gets famous is by rising up in the 90s, like right place, right time.
Yeah,
because she's pretty mouse. She's not very attractive, but when we're talking the 90s, that type of look was in, and I think she got big because it was just right place, right time for her look. Any other time in movie history, she doesn't rise to lead role part. John, what do you think?
Yeah, it was definitely the post like Winona Ryder, Susie Sue type of thing going, that they were pushing women that look like that, kind of homely, plain Jane. There's nothing there, but
Winona Ryder was much better looking around that time.
Yeah, she was. It's just like, but you could see the descent, like the de-evolution of standard for beauty in the 90s. Like, oh, you know, this person could, Ellen DeGeneres can be a lead in a movie.
Mr. Wrong!
Yeah, it's like suddenly
Mr. Wrong.
Exactly.
They were all Mr. Wrong. It was an inside joke.
You know who's Mr. Wrong? Every man out there.
But she's perfect playing like a coked out freak in Fight Club, you know?
Yeah.
She's good in that movie. You know.
I would have gone with Sadie Frost, who was in Dracula, actually, more than her.
Oh, yeah. Sadie Frost.
Much better looking
great.
And actually very good.
Yeah. What do y'all, so this movie came out as kind of a companion to Coppola's Dracula. What do y'all think of that movie?
Fun, but not necessarily good, but I enjoy it.
I enjoy it a lot too.
Not a good movie, but I have fun with it.
Dracula is better. But yeah. I actually saw both in theaters when they came out at their respective times. And I remember just being miserable through Frankenstein, thinking this is just unwatchable. But I mean, I sat through to the end, obviously. Dracula was, I had fun with, but just, and it's just no fault of the kid. There was a little woman that brought a baby into the theater who was just crying. I thought, okay, look.
That's because the baby was offended that a baby gets eaten by female vampires in the movie.
Maybe the baby was offended at the fact that the overacting was just so gratuitous that you couldn't escape it.
Yeah.
What? Dracula is overacted.
Oh, big time. Yeah. The acting in Frankenstein is, I mean, not Frankenstein, in Dracula is super hammy, but I think Gary Oldman's good.
He's the biggest ham actor in there along with Anthony Hopkins.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, Hopkins is chewing the scenery.
Yeah.
But Keanu Reeves is like hideously miscast. And
yep.
What's his name? Coppola was talking about how he was going for a really kind of hot young cast in that movie, like getting Winona Ryder and, you know, people like that. It's got Monica Bellucci as one of the like sex pot vampire creatures.
Yep.
But what I liked, I thought visually it's arresting.
Yeah.
To watch. And, you know, Coppola, was quite obsessed with early cinema at the time, and all of the special effects in it are done in camera.
Oh wow.
Yeah, there's very little like CGI or modern tricks. He wanted it to be very early, like kind of Méliès, you know, early like German expressionist cinema. Like he wanted it all to be like in camera. I watched this thing on it and it was fascinating how they shot it.
Was that the one that was called Dracula Bloodlines or something? The extra feature on the...
It might be.
Home release one.
Yeah, it's on the Blu-ray, whatever it is. But
yeah.
But yeah, it's a movie. Like, I think that's the perfect take, though. It's like, it's not necessarily a good movie, but it's very enjoyable to watch. And the costume design is wild. Like, they got this Japanese girl to do it, and it's pretty crazy. It's very striking.
Do you know, she's the same woman who worked on Mishima, Paul Schrader's movie.
Oh, interesting.
And Jim Steranko did designs on it, did a lot of the design work.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
Do you know that every actor in Dracula, every main actor in Dracula, was using an accent except for one?
Which one
was? Sadie Frost. She was using a British accent. All the rest were using an accent other than their own natural native tongue.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
Huh. Yeah. Well, Oldman was being Romanian. Hopkins was being German. Winona Ryder was an American being British.
Keanu Reeves same was with a Hawaiian Reeves. Being British.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I found the bastard at Carfax Abbey.
I was waiting for him to say, "Yo, Rufus, can you take us there?"
But yeah, I mean, it's a movie. That's one that I enjoy, and it's one that I periodically revisit, because it's a lot of fun. Even though, like y'all said, it's not necessarily good. But this one, this one, oh boy,
yeah.
And the thing about this movie is, it purports to be faithful to the novel. Have any of you read the book?
Years ago.
No, I own it, but I've only heard... I've heard an abridged audiobook of it,
okay.
But I've not read the full thing, no.
I read it back in high school. It was assigned reading. I've been wanting to read it again, but this movie purports to be faithful to it, and there's certain things about it that are more faithful than, say, okay, like James Whale's film. Or the Hammer films, you know, those are great movies. But you know, if you're thinking you're getting the novel, not at all, not even close.
Same with Dracula.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, the only faithful version of Dracula is the Louis Jourdan BBC, like miniseries or 3-hour movie, whatever it is. It's on Amazon Prime right now, by the way.
Is that the newer one, or is that one?
It was 1978.
Oh, okay. That's
yeah. It was a BBC TV presentation. So it's a lot of it shot on video, but that is the most faithful to the novel.
And both Dracula and Frankenstein have been done to death and very rarely with any accuracy to the text.
I'm looking up the most faithful Frankenstein, although I'm told the TNT TV movie version with Randy Quaid as the monster is actually somewhat faithful.
Yeah, it is. I've seen that one, and it was kind of made to compete with this film. Right. And it's a better movie than this.
Well, there's a Swedish film. I think it's Swedish, or called Terror of Frankenstein from 1977, and it's directed by Calvin Floyd, and it is actually it's got Nicholas Clay from Excalibur. Don't know if any of these other actors would be familiar to people, but that's actually very faithful, but it's boring.
How faithful do you think Dracula versus Billy the Kid is?
Highly.
Pretty close. Pretty close to what Stoker envisioned, I think.
You guys don't remember the part where Billy the Kid shows up in the novel? It's pretty memorable scene.
It was pretty cool. I thought it was a real meta.
Yeah.
It was postmodern.
Yeah, you know, because Billy the Kid... I think Frankenstein was written before Billy the Kid, wasn't he? I don't know.
Yeah, I think it was.
What's your favorite Dracula film? Okay, and I'm going to say what's your favorite Dracula film aside from the Universal and the Hammers? You got to exclude them because they're pretty much a given that you're going to enjoy either one or
right.
both.
For me, I think I'll say I like Werner Herzog's Nosferatu a lot.
Yeah, I'd agree. If you could count Nosferatu, I would say that for sure.
Because in Werner Herzog's, he's Dracula. Like, it's straight up the book. Whereas Murnau's film kind of skirts around it. And Murnau's film is amazing. You know, it's a great movie, but I love the Herzog film. It has the score and the bipolar vu, and it's great.
Murnau's is my favorite vampire film.
Yeah.
Of all time. Like, of all of them. I think it's amazing because the science, it's still Max Schreck is the most frightening vampire I've ever seen on film.
And I've also got the DVD where it's just typo negative music.
Of course. Okay, I've got a DVD, an old DVD of Nosferatu, and I can't remember if it's got the typo negative music or if it's got another rescore. There's a rescore on there by somebody. It might be Philip Glass. I can't remember.
I think there's a Philip Glass rescore of Dracula, the Universal one with Bela Lugosi.
Okay, I'm mixing up then. Okay, then I'll have to check my DVD version of Nosferatu because it may have the typo negative score, which that'd be interesting.
I have a friend who messaged me out of the blue like a couple weeks ago, and he goes, "Hey man, do you have the typo negative Nosferatu? I really want it." And I was like, "I'll hook you up, buddy."
I'll tell you what. Oh, I'll tell you, anyway, my favorite Dracula film besides Universal and Hammers is Love at First Bite, but that's just me anyway. I'll tell you who would make a good Dracula would have been Pete Steele if he was alive.
He was like 6'7".
Yeah.
Really big guy. And he would wear fangs and stuff when he'd play live.
Oh, for sure, yeah. I mean, he would have made a great... a great Count Dracula. Yeah, it would have been good casting.
But
speaking of casting, how about the casting of Robert De Niro in this piece of shit?
Oh my god!
And what's funny is when you read reviews of this movie from the time, the reviews all say the only decent part about it is Robert De Niro.
Ooh.
He looks like as I was watching this, he looks like Travis Bickle. After a skirmish or a bust up in a bar somewhere in New York back in the 70s, when he's older.
You know, I knew a guy a long time ago who got hit by a train, and he looked like Robert De Niro in this movie.
I'm surprised he's still fucking alive after
he was in a coma for 2 years. He was like, he does speaking engagements where he talks about alcoholism because he was drunk and he was like, "I'm going to jump on this train," and then got his brains knocked out of his skull. But
wait. So El Duce's alive.
Yes. I forgot to mention his name is El Duce. No, but man, you know, when I see Robert De Niro in this movie, he looks like that guy. Like his face and everything.
Jesus.
Completely messed up.
My goodness.
Yeah. Yeah.
A train accident will sort of do that to you.
Yeah, it will. Yeah, that guy could have played Frankenstein in this movie and not needed
anything. What a nice friend you are. You're such an asshole of a friend. I tell you. Oh, you could have played Frankenstein. 2 years in a coma, busted up head, but you could play Frankenstein at least.
But De Niro, terrible casting as the monster.
The worst.
But is he worse than Kenneth Branagh in this film?
No.
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 Not at all.
Hang on. Different roles. Branagh's got more to play with, whereas De Niro is very restricted in what he can do as the monster.
Mm-hmm.
But Branagh is, yeah, he should have been the size of a house, how much he chewed up after doing his film. It was just ridiculous.
I think this movie would have been a lot better if Branagh had just directed and not starred in it.
I agree.
Because he is so in love with himself. This film is, he's shooting himself. And by the way, this movie, the camera, he loves to have the camera zoom and then spin around. Have you noticed? Yeah. Did you notice how much the camera spins around characters in this movie? It never sits still. And this movie is so loud and over the top. Every scene is bereft of subtlety. In fact, I think the only reason critics praise De Niro in the film is because the scenes without Kenneth Branagh are the ones where the movie slows down. Like when De Niro's in the woods and he's, the spirit of the forest giving the family vegetables and stuff. That's where the movie's not like, the camera's not spinning around and getting in people's faces and going nuts. That's where the movie kind of lets the little subtleties in the script come through. Because what's his name? Frank Darabont co-wrote the script with someone named Steph Lady. And Frank Darabont, he said, "It's the best script I ever wrote and the worst movie I've ever seen." Here's a longer quote. He says, "There's a weird doppelganger effect when I watch the movie. It's kind of like the movie I wrote, but not at all like the movie I wrote. It has no patience for subtlety. It has no patience for quiet moments. It has no patience, period. It's big and loud and blunt and rephrased by the director at every possible turn. Cumulatively, the effect was a totally different movie. I don't know why Branagh needed to make this big, loud film. The material was subtle. Shelley's book was way out there in a lot of ways, but it's also very subtle. I don't know why it has to be this operatic attempt at filmmaking. Shelley's book is not operatic. It whispers at you a lot. The movie was a bad one. That was my Waterloo." "It's where I got my ass kicked the most as a screenwriter. Branagh really took the brunt of the blame for that film, which was appropriate. That movie was his vision entirely. If you love that movie, throw all your roses at Ken Branagh's feet. If you hated it, throw your spears there too, because that was his movie." So,
yeah.
But it is a loud film. It's brash. Everyone's screaming all the time. Everyone's yelling.
Well, the problem with it is, and I figured it out, I watched it for the first time last night. And
you'd never seen it before?
I had never seen it before.
Oh my gosh.
I just picked it up at a library sale for like a nickel. And
that's you wanted to do this film.
Yeah, I was like, let me watch this, and hey, if it sucks, you know.
I was like, why does John want to do this movie?
Because I was like, well, at least tell some funny stories. I've never seen it before, you know, and I have at least one funny story about it. But the thing is, he was making a Ken Russell movie.
That's a really apt description.
It was very obvious from the get-go. It's like, okay, anytime he's on screen, it's the Ken Russell film. People are in these costumes, they're yelling at each other, and the sets are kind of half decent, half fake looking.
They're kind of garish.
Yeah, it's very garish.
And they said they wanted to, because I have a book about the making of this movie. It's meant to promote the film, so it's not honest. But they talked about how they wanted to separate it from the Hammer and the Universal ones by making everything colorful, you know.
Yeah. So they made it look like The Music Lovers and Gothic, which was about Mary Shelley writing Frankenstein. And,
That's a Ken Russell film.
Yeah, and that's what it looks like. It looks like a Ken Russell movie, except the studio obviously wouldn't hire Ken Russell under Copeland's order, so they had to hire hip new directors, so they went for Branagh.
Well, and they're not going to hire Ken Russell because he killed Paddy Chayefsky.
Exactly.
That's the real reason.
Right. But it's just, the studios get to a point where they're not going to hire that old director unless it's Coppola or Scorsese. They're not going to hire Romero. They're not going to hire Cronenberg. They're not going to hire, somebody who's been a steady hand with the genre. They want to hire the hip name,
Yeah. 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 And Branagh probably seemed like a good choice because he did Shakespeare so well.
Right. So they're thinking, oh, it's British accents and, theatrical behavior and everything,
and it's classic literature.
Right. And see, the funny thing was, when this was released, I think it was around the same time as Pulp Fiction, and I was in college up at Ole Miss, and I'm not going to name my friends who took this opinion, but because that'd be very embarrassed. One of them's actually a big shot writer right now. They were big Star Wars nerds. They love Star Wars, and I had never encountered Star Wars fans before. I thought that was something everybody forgot about after Return of the Jedi. And I go to college and find out that's not true. they were running the VHS tapes all the time in their dorm rooms, and just putting those movies on replay, and they'd memorized all the dialogue. I'd never encountered such people in my life. And they were telling me, no, this movie's going to be great because, and this was the hot rumor at the time, Kenneth Branagh is going to direct in Lucas's next Star Wars movie, and he's gonna play Obi-Wan Kenobi, and Frank Darabont's writing the script, and apparently this was somewhat true, and they went
has
to
come
it.
From somewhere.
Right, they went to see Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, and I said, look guys, that movie looks terrible. All you saw in the ads was Branagh with his shirt off trying to look like Fabio.
He does like even the part. The VHS cover looks like a romance novel.
Yeah, yeah, he looks like Fabio, the Italian model, and Helena Bonham Carter's like fainting or whatever, and he's holding her, and the trailers were just dreadful.
And his shirt's like hanging off of him. He's like kissing her neck.
Yeah, man, I met with Jake Steinfeld, Body by Jake, and worked out at Nautilus. He got this look, man, just like Goldblum and the Fly. So he had his shirt off, and he's running around the lab and pulling ropes and stuff, trying to look like Fabio, like on a Viking ship or some shit. And I said, dude, guys, this movie's gonna be terrible. Don't put this Star Wars bias in your head. You've obviously got it. You want it to be a good movie because you think he's going to do Star Wars 4 or whatever the hell. And I said, guys, go see Pulp Fiction. Take a road trip to Memphis and go see Pulp Fiction or whatever. Because I had seen that opening day and loved it. And I said, that's where movies are. That's the best movie of the year. They go see Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. Guess what their opinion is? This is the best movie. It's
no,
great.
Oh,
he's
going to no.
be an awesome Obi-Wan Kenobi. Now you know why I'm not naming these guys. And, it was just phenomenal. Oh, I can't wait to see what he does with Star Wars. I went, guys, Pulp Fiction is a better movie. Then Pulp Fiction opened locally in Oxford, Mississippi. A couple of weeks later, and then they came up to me like, you were right. That was a great film. That's the one people are going to remember.
And that's better than freaking Frankenstein. My goodness.
Oh, my God. I said, there's no way in hell I'm going to go see this thing. And then, so when I just saw it at the library sale a week ago, I was like, what the hell? It's bag day. You stuff a bag full of DVDs. It's $8. What the hell? I'll watch it. See if the boys want to review it for the show, and I'll see what this turkey is like. Oh my God! I watched it with my wife, who'd actually seen it before, and she was we were just laughing so hard at it.
Oh.
I was laughing at the Branagh regeneration scene where he's like running around. The video. I was laughing as hard as I do when I watch an SCTV sketch.
Are you laughing as hard when you watch the regenerated frog?
Yeah, almost. I thought that was pretty funny because it was just so blatantly silly.
My wife, she loves his Shakespeare films, but she'd never seen this, and she goes, "I'm not going to watch it because it's Frankenstein. It's going to be gross." And mm-hmm. but I, When that scene came on, I forgot how hilarious it is with him throwing the switches and running around.
I was just cracking up. I almost fell on the floor. I was laughing so hard. I filmed
the TV and I texted it to her and I said, peak Brenna narcissism. And she was laughing.
It starts out with him like walking fast towards the camera with his nose open like Ric Flair or something.
Yes, like he looks like a pro wrestler.
What the hell?
You know what you should do with that? You should make this. I actually said when I was watching this film could have been silent with just a musical score. And every scene you see with Brenna running around, you just have it to a Motorhead song.
Love me like a reptile.
Yeah. Or Monster Magnet. That might have more of the sex stuff.
Ooh, yeah. Monster Magnet songs are like sexy Motorhead songs.
Yeah. It's like, you know.
It's like Motorhead to make love to, you know.
Chicks like the bang of those.
So. Yeah, exactly. So what was it? But, you know, and the thing is I read this essay by Branagh about the film, and he was talking about that sequence and how he wanted to evoke, like, birth and horror with it because he's all, like,
wasn't wet. Harlequin romance, right?
Yeah, I know! What's going? You know, that's an interesting idea, Kenneth. The problem is you're the focus
of
the sequence, not the birth of the monster. And my wife also pointed out, she goes, he's also way too not crazy when he says it's alive. And Brenna was talking about how he wanted Frankenstein to be dangerously sane, not crazy. Like, who played him? Colin Clive. Did Colin Clive play him in the Universal ones?
It's alive.
You know, and he was saying, oh, I wanted to portray him as dangerously sane, but when he says it's alive, it's just like, it's alive.
Yeah, I was like, wow, how restrained.
Yeah,
I guess he was.
It seems a little too self-consciously, like,
it's like how Legend of Tarzan didn't want you to hear the Tarzan yell.
Yeah, they want to downplay it. And yeah, they want you to go, downplayed. Ooh, isn't it downplayed? Ooh, you know.
Because you were expecting something kind of awesome, like the wise
ooh, movie. Oh, I wanted something cool. Instead, I got something not cool. And isn't that interesting?
Right. Even Walt's character remarks, oh, it didn't sound like what I thought it would. It's just like, wow, what a great way to emasculate your film.
But... Also, what did y'all think of the sequence where he's at school with John Cleese, where Frankenstein is like, well, we can do all these crazy abominations with science, and why don't we do it?
Yeah, he's a little bit of foreshadowing there, maybe a little too on the nose. It should have been like he was an innocent guy, but then stunned that the Cleese doctor was, you know, reanimating fake-looking frogs with electricity and stuff.
And I thought John Cleese was one of the brighter spots in this.
Yeah. I only recognize him because I heard his voice. I didn't spot it.
Well, I remember going, who is that?
And then I thought I heard Basil Fawlty, and then I was like, oh, okay. That's John Cleese.
Yeah, I'm stunned you guys couldn't pick. I could have picked him in a...
yeah, I know. Like, no, it's
nosebleeds of a buddy stadium. It was that obvious, but...
Yeah. Believe me, you know, I felt silly.
As you should.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll tell you what, instead of saying, what do you all think about this scene? How about, what do you all think about the film? One word, shit.
Yeah, it's bad.
It is shit. Let's call it for what it is.
Oh, it's
garbage.
Awful.
I said it's the worst film I've watched this year, new or old. It's the worst.
And I think
you haven't seen the new Bond yet, obviously. Yeah.
No, I haven't seen that yet. You know, so
that's going to be the worst movie of the year. Yeah. When I,
no doubt.
When I watched it in my English class, the scene where I just went, okay, what? This is the serious, like, Mary Shelley Frankenstein movie, is when Robert De Niro goes all Mortal Kombat and rips out Helena Bonham Carter's heart and it's beating. It's beating in his hand.
I thought they swiped that from Andy Warhol's Frankenstein.
Most likely.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah,
yeah, I felt like that was a nod to that.
Andy Warhol's Frankenstein is a gorehound Frankenstein movie.
Yeah.
But it's silly, so you don't really care. You
right.
Know, it doesn't, it's not, you know, it works. I've only seen that one once, but I liked it when I saw it.
Yeah, it's fun. Dracula's better, but it is fun.
Yeah, I got that new Severin release of Blood for Dragon.
Of course you did, Severin Shelf. Uncle Severin Shelf.
Uncle Severin Shelf. But
I just real quick, what's the next shelf behind the Arrow shelf that's gaining some sort of speed?
I have a lot of Kino Lorber stuff.
They do put us good stuff. Have you got have you got Valley Girl on Blu-ray?
Not yet. I want that one though.
Yeah, that's what the wife wants bad. Valley Girl and Tough Turf. Yeah, but bit pricey to get them from the from Amazon US.
Yeah, especially because they have to ship it to the concentration camp you're in. You know, it's tough to get.
Yeah, it's getting speed dial my protest, mate. international travel will happen one day again, so we'll wait. It's all right.
Yeah.
Nah. Well, it doesn't matter. I'm just watching the process on TV. It's day four. It's all over. Happening all over again.
Oh God.
Yep. Yeah. Only getting worse. But yeah. Not as bad as this. Not as worse as this.
No.
Honestly, watching a fucking protest on TV was way more entertaining than watching any of this film.
Oh, I would.
And I shouldn't be saying that, but honestly, that's how bad this film was.
100%. And another thing too, you know, it's Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. This is we're doing the real Frankenstein, y'all. This isn't that Boris Karloff crap where he just grunts and, you know, smokes cigars and says friend. This is the real Frankenstein. The real Frankenstein where he builds a bride, which, you know, he is abandoned in the book. He starts and then he goes, oh no, I can't do this. In this, Helena Bonham Carter becomes the Bride of Frankenstein. She dances with Kenneth Branagh, and then she sets herself on fire and runs through the house. The house explodes because she's on fire. Like,
so bad.
I remember sitting when I was in high school watching it, going, "Is the house riddled with explosives? What's going on?"
So bad, I tell you.
So over the top, and Helena Bonham Carter's going, like she's trying to show them that she doesn't want the monster or Victor, because they fight over her. They fight over her. She's like, she's like brain damaged. And she can't even speak. And they're fighting over her. And she goes, she's like doing the, it's all about what you want. What do I want? And she kills herself by fire. She suicides by fire.
That was the very moment when she was as the monster, as the Bride of the Monster, if you will, the Bride of Frankenstein. That was the very moment Tim Burton saw her and said, I want her.
Yeah, Tim Burton.
In my life.
Tim Burton was like, I'm taking you from Kenneth Branagh.
I will leave. I will leave the much hotter Lisa Marie.
No, I tell you, boy, isn't that the mistake of the century?
What a strange thing.
What? Yeah, Lisa Marie is really, not Presley, but Lisa Marie, oh my God, really good-looking woman. But going for, and apparently, don't know from first-hand fact, but Helena Bonham Carter really has a body odor problem, they say.
she looks like it.
Yeah.
You can smell her off the screen.
Yeah. This film should have been done in what was that John Waters film, Polyester, with Scratch and Stiff cards?
Oh, yeah.
So every time Helena Bonham Carter comes to the screen, just scratch card number four, and you get a whiff of fucking underarm and vaginal yeast or whatever else he's got. Yeah.
And, you know, I think with some of the Shakespeare stuff, I kind of wonder if it's kind of like Peter Bogdanovich and Polly Platt, you know, when they split. Bogdanovich's films took kind of a dive.
Yeah.
I kind of wonder if Emma Thompson wasn't kind of power behind the throne a little bit. Because after she split with Branagh, she goes and writes the script for Sense and Sensibility and stars in it. And that's a great movie. You know, she's amazing in that. And that script is incredible.
Actually, sorry to cut you off. I remember another Kenneth Branagh film I saw in the theaters as well, which I really enjoyed. He didn't direct it. But he was in it along with Emma Thompson, Stephen Fry, and a few others. One called Peter's Friends.
I don't know that one.
That's very, very good.
Peter's Friends. Peter's. Oh, yeah. That's his. So it was Henry V, Dead Again, Peter's friends, Much Ado About Nothing, which is great, and then Mary Shelley's Frankenstein.
Oh, did Brennan direct it as well, did he?
Yes.
Peter's friends.
Did he do Celebrity, the Woody Allen movie?
No, he played Woody Allen in it, though, and he's going, oh, geez, oh my goodness. He was the first actor to play the Woody part.
And, oh, no, really?
Yeah, and he goes way too hard on it. Like, he's more Woody than Woody. It's really...
Oh, whoa. Well, yeah, God. I don't think I've seen it. So I'm going to have to try to seek it out, I guess.
Yeah. I've seen it. It's not very good. But if you're a Woody Allen fan, you should watch it.
Right.
Celebrity. Hang on. What's the one? Is that a Woody Allen film?
Yeah.
Well, hang on. What am I thinking of? Oh, I'm thinking of The Player by Robert Altman. My mistake.
Yeah. Let's see how that...
Right. So... Yeah. Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, that's where he parts with Emma Thompson. Then he does In the Blink of Midwinter. He does Hamlet, which, you know, is the really big, that celebrity-riddled Hamlet film. Kind of, it has its fans, but after that, his work kind of takes a dive. And, you know, I think that Emma Thompson, I think she was a big part of why those first four films are great, you know?
Yeah. Well, I noticed, like, I went to see Murderer on the Orient Express, and I noticed he was a lot more self-deprecating when he was playing Poirot.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if that was sort of a kind of trying to make amends for being such an egomaniac in the 90s, stuff like this. Because, you know, this first scene, like, he steps right in dog crap. You know, it's just, like, humiliating scenes one after the other.
Yeah. Yeah, and
Death on the Nile is just sitting on the shelf. Disney is just sitting on that. They acquired it from their Fox takeover. It's been announced, and they pull it, and still not out yet.
And with Hamlet, you know, I know a lot of Shakespeare professors who go, you know, they love Henry V, and they love Much Ado About Nothing, but Hamlet, they're a little more cool on. They go, that's where Branagh really got Hollywood. That's where you could see the ego inflating.
No, I thought Mel Gibson did it with Zeffirelli before that.
John just fucking stole my words. I was going to say, Mel Gibson's Hamlet is the best one.
Yeah,
I like that one. I saw it in a theater and loved it. Yeah,
I went to the castle where they shot it, Dunottar Castle in Scotland.
Oh, nice.
But yeah, Zeffirelli's Hamlet is very good. That's one that's hard to find. Actually,
yeah, very, very true. Because yeah, I want that one on Blu-ray.
But... Me too. Yeah, I would buy that in a second. Hamlet.
Yeah,
it's a damn good version. Well, he also did Thor, but didn't appear on camera.
Yeah, that's the right. Only place where it's available digitally is Spectrum on Demand. Wow, that is very specific.
Weird. There's not even like a Spanish Blu-ray. Somebody's
I haven't looked physical. I'm just looking digital right now. All right.
No, there was an Australian one, but I don't know what's happened. What year was that? 1990. Yeah.
1990. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. I'll check it up. You guys keep talking. I'm sure there was an Australian release.
By the way, speaking of Mel Gibson, I was listening. Do any of you listen to the Opperman Report?
No.
Nah.
You heard of it?
Nah.
No. Okay, John, you would like this show. But okay. they had Mark Ebner on. Do you know Mark Ebner?
Not offhand.
Okay, well, he wrote a book with Andrew Breitbart called Hollywood Interrupted.
Okay, I remember that.
Yeah, that's a good book. But he's written a bunch of investigative journalism and stuff. And he said he met Mel Gibson at a party. And he said he said his dream job is to do a biography of Mel Gibson, like an official biography. He said that's his dream project. And he said Mel Gibson was at this party. And he went up to him and he kind of pitched it to him. And Mel Gibson was like, nah. And he goes, but I'll give you a scoop. He goes, Harvey Weinstein has no, and then he said a euphemism for a penis. And I said, what are you talking about? And he goes, this was before the Me Too thing. And he said that Mel Gibson told him Harvey Weinstein lost his penis to some biblical venereal disease. And then, you know.
Mel. Our national treasure is.
And he said, and he goes, and you know, Mel Gibson, he goes, anytime he's up for a project, Harvey Weinstein was on the phone trying to get him fired and off of it. So Mel had an axe to grind. But he was right when the Me Too stuff came down.
Turned out Harvey Weinstein didn't have any junk, but it's still, but he still had the urges and he would still molest people.
Yep.
But he just, he
is this, this is the Opperman report.
The Opperman report.
Okay.
They have that guy, William Ramsey, on who wrote the West Memphis 3 guilty book.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Apparently. Right. Yeah. Yeah, check Opperman it out.
Opperman report. KCAA Radio California.
Okay. Yep.
All right.
Yeah. He puts out a lot of shows. I just listen to the ones where I go, ooh, that's a topic I like. But the ones with Mark, so the ones with Mark Ebner, very worth listening to.
So you don't listen to like UFOs or?
No, it's a lot of true crime. It's a lot of crime. It's a lot of crime stuff.
Might be my thing.
Hey, who said UFO? Oh, yeah. UFO. Preach to the night. Greatest live album of all time.
Hey, you were here. That one's underrated. It's got Jason Bonham. You
ran me off the road because I was listening to
I listened to some UFO when I was at work about 2 weeks back. Man, I couldn't be more bored listening to a band and fucking... I listened to Phenomenon, Lights Out, which was half decent. And...
I like UFO. I've seen them live. But they do, you know... Their albums are kind of like hit or miss.
They just don't do it for me. I mean, I'm not dislike them strictly because of Eddie Trunk. I generally don't like them. They just don't do it for me.
But Hunter, did you get run off the road for blasting them?
Yeah, I was listening to them and they tried to run me off the road because I was listening to rock and roll and not disco.
Like some Guidos playing Disco Duck were, you know, running Eddie off the road.
Okay. Yeah, I'm looking on Amazon and Mel Gibson's Hamlet, very difficult to find.
It was released here in Australia, it says, but not available anymore.
And that's another one. I watched that movie in the same English class. I watched it, but our teacher was like, this is a good movie for the Mel Gibson one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to see it again. I remember really digging it.
I liked it when I saw it in high school. I liked it. It's doesn't that one
theater?
Have,
yeah,
Helena Bonham Carter's in that too, isn't she?
Yeah, I believe she is.
Yeah,
yeah. I think he has that great scene where he just blows up at her. Oh, deceitful woman, or something, and he goes crazy.
You know what just came out with Mel Gibson on Blu-ray? Bird on a Wire with him and Goldie Hawn.
That movie's terrible.
It's not good.
We get that one, but we don't get Hamlet. It's unfair. We gotta get Franco Zeffirelli. You know, he just died. We need to get, you know, this one out.
Yeah, that's an underappreciated Hamlet. I wonder if it was kind of secret courted away because of the or obscured by the Branagh.
Well, if you want Mel Gibson's Hamlet, you're going directly to Mel because Icon controls that film.
Oh, really?
That could explain it.
Don't
worry about the corpse of Zeffirelli. That means nothing. You got to go to the man himself.
Yeah, I'm looking at there's a Japanese Blu-ray you can buy on Amazon for $56 used.
Wow. Oh,
the Australian one goes for 110.
Let's see.
Did Vincent Gallo do the commentary on that?
Yes. Okay, yeah, I'm seeing this one looks like the Australian one. This one's $21 on DVD.
Okay.
It's PAL format. So
well, I've all got right. I've got a Blu-ray rip of it from Bay, but that'll do for now. When it gets an official release, or like a re-release, I should say,
right
over here, I just don't even know how I missed it because I picked up Apocalypto and Passion of the Christ, but that one just slipped through the cracks somehow.
Yeah.
That'll be a future show. 90s films that slipped through the cracks because there's a surprising amount of them.
Yeah, there's a lot.
They had like one video release and then you never saw them again.
One of them, unfortunately, is not Frankenstein, directed by Kenneth.
They should have buried this fucking thing. I guess they're trying to take advantage of all the Star Wars fans that thought he was still going to play Obi-Wan.
I've actually got this film. Well, my wife bought it. It came in a 3-movie collector's pack with Bram Stoker's Dracula, Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, and the Mike Nichols film Wolf.
Oh, yeah.
That really aren't very good.
Yeah,
Wolf was one that was disappointing. When I found out there was a werewolf movie with Jack Nicholson, I went, boom, sold, I want it, and I watched it, and meh.
Yeah. That was not good. And Rick Baker was doing the werewolf effects and not good.
What werewolf effects?
I know, it's just hair on his face. What? Like Jack didn't shave for a couple of weeks.
I could have fooled me, you know.
They have like a $6 million man fight with James Spader, like you're jumping around in slow motion.
Yeah, yeah. Like Rick Baker, you know, he earned that Oscar for American Werewolf. This, you know.
Yeah, it's a bad movie. But yeah, the I had read a trivia point in IMDb that the theory was these movies were called Bram Stoker's Dracula and Mary Shelley's Frankenstein to avoid any copyright problems with Universal.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah. That would be the case.
If you just called it Dracula, they could sue you. If you just called it Frankenstein, they could sue you.
Bram Stoker's secret gay lover would have, his fourth generation would have sued you.
Right, they would have come after you.
Well, that's what happened to Murnau on Nosferatu. You know, that movie was almost lost because the Stoker estate sued him.
Yeah, Stoker's widow sued him. And
and won.
Yeah.
Yeah, even though they changed all the names and stuff, but when Herzog did it, it was just he's instead of Count Orlok, he's just Dracula, you know.
Yeah,
Jonathan. When Hitler plays Jonathan Harker, he's Jonathan Harker, you know. Yeah, that's 99. You know, the Hitler from Downfall, Der Untergang, Bruno Ganz. Right.
Well, it's funny that version played like in Mississippi theaters. The English dub of it's not really English dub. I think they actually performed it.
They did. They did it like old school, like do it once in English, once in
German. Right. And they it got a big release. Like it played in my in the hick city of Jackson, Mississippi, and played in the theater there.
The opening credits to that movie is so spooky. Where Herzog went and shot in some mummy crypt in like South America, and it is like.
I gotta see it again. I haven't seen it here.
Oh, it's great. Watch that. So good. Yeah. Go watch it again. Yeah, especially like, you know, if you love.
I have to go to Bay and find it.
You have to
Arga Bay.
Yeah.
Buccaneer Bay.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a rip.
You're going to Anchor Bay, right?
Yeah, yeah.
From Anchor Bay.
Of course.
Bay.
Anchor Bay print, I know, was out for a while.
That's the one I've got.
Yeah. I think it's the only one that's been out, but who knows? It's probably one I've missed.
There, Scream Factory has a release of it.
Oh, of course. If you're willing to hand over $30 or whatever, for something that Zolly's going to get pulled in about a month or two.
So you're going, you guys screwed this up.
Yeah, because like audio's off for like half a second.
The subtitles are incorrect during this scene.
Yeah, they're timed badly.
He's still really angry about Billy Jack. Like, he's not over it.
I don't blame him.
I'm angry about Billy Jack.
I don't blame him at all.
And I want Zolly to save it, you know?
Yeah, yeah, you kind of want Zolly.
Was he the one who picked up on the Bruce Lee mistake?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, that's unreal.
It is. I think they took a bath on that release. Because of Zolly.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he was hitting it. I think they banned him. He can't, like, buy from their store.
I can't believe they fucked up the Bruce Lee movies. Yeah,
he's banned. They will not sell to him.
They won't sell to him. People. Yeah, he has to go.
Not
go.
Bullshit.
I'm not kidding. We're not kidding, Stu.
So he's going to go through a third-party person to get...
Yeah, everything we say on here is true, even if it sounds like a work. But
yeah, I know. People don't think Zolly's real. He's real. Yeah.
No, he's totally real.
It's not me or John or Hunter creating a
no voice. Not at all. People always think we create characters and stuff. No, these people are real.
Yeah.
Oh,
our show is not a work. It's not pro wrestling. Well, a couple of weeks ago it was, but it's not pro wrestling at all.
I got a very scathing thing of Frank Blackman from Nesbitt on Messenger.
I tried to explain to him that show's a work.
Yeah.
But I don't think he knew what I meant because, you know, Nesbitt's probably only seen Big Daddy in wrestling or whatever.
Yeah. But what was he said? He was talking about SNL, Larry David. Hang on a second. I'll find it. But,
Curb Your Enthusiasm.
No, he was saying something about Larry David being a unfunny prick or something like that.
Of course.
So
yeah. Our conversation between me and Nesbitt are fucking MI6 classified shit.
Well, it's because you get him on breaks between him getting banned and changing his name all the time on Twitter.
He does not change his name. Don't say such a thing.
That's right. All I know is if I get a friendship request from somebody with a photo of an obscure British TV comic.
Yeah, I'm always like, oh,
let me guess who's up. Let me guess who this is.
Politics dominate our conversation, so I can assure you.
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah, you guys are in the thick of it, so.
Like that TV show, The Thick of It with Peter.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah. He's more in tune with shit that's happening in Melbourne with the protests and I'm. He's like, oh, they've started smashing police cars. I didn't even know that. I hear from a guy over in Liverpool about
the guy overseas is telling smashed. You is up there.
Yeah. Well,
telling you what's going on.
Yeah. But anyway.
Carry
on, please.
So one thing too about this movie, what do you guys think Frankenstein is about? Like, what's the point of the story?
Ego,
like playing God. I think it's kind of about revolutionaries because Mary Shelley comes from a revolutionary family and Percy Shelley and all that. They're all big into the French Revolution. Frankenstein is a revolutionary character. He's like, you know, why, you know, he wants to upend, he wants to defeat, conquer death, right?
Right.
So revolution. And, you know, revolution is always a revolt against the natural order. And what happens is it results in abomination. Just like Mary Shelley was having an affair with Percy Shelley and his wife commits suicide, you know. But you know, it was their rejection of, well, you know, it's, you know, hey, it's just love is love, man. You know, it results in tragedy.
Right, they were like hippie beatnik assholes.
Yeah, absolutely. But
they're like David Crosby and Stills and Nash.
And the thing is the monster, you know, he's rejected by his father, he's rejected by society, and he becomes evil as a result. Becomes a murderer. But there's this like Guillermo del Toro type take on Frankenstein where it's about being different. It's about I'm different and people are mean to me because I'm fat or I'm ugly. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's not what it's about.
No, not at all. That's
at all. And the
monster's like 9 feet tall. Yeah. He's like in the book. In the book, he's like 9 feet
tall. Where's Tom Noonan when you need him for
Yeah. No kidding. Tom Noonan, that would have been great casting as the monster.
Well, he's already done it in Monster Squad. So.
Oh, that's right. He was. Yeah,
it's kind of already taken.
Yeah.
But in this movie, okay.
Tyler Mayne is Frankenstein's
monster. Oh, no, don't go. No. If you fucking invoke RZ, I am out of here.
That's now, you just gave Rob Zombie the idea. He's going to play Herman Munster now.
Yeah.
But
Herman's gonna be clotheslining grandpa.
But it creeps into this movie too, where like the monster's like, oh, I'm sort of rejected because I'm different. But then he goes and murders people, and then he'll go and lecture Frankenstein. Two people are dead because of what we did. Isn't that terrible? Why do you care? You're the one killing him. What's going on? Like you know, the monster understands what he does is morally reprehensible, but just like is like, oh well.
I'll tell you a film more entertaining than this is Blackenstein.
Blackenstein is better. Because at least you get that guy who played the Lone Ranger for like a year.
So anything about Frankenstein we haven't covered yet?
It's fucking shit.
Yeah, I have to agree with Stu. It's just shit.
It's really bad. No, I would be very shocked if anybody on here was going, actually, it's a good movie.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's going to defend that piece of crap.
No.
And De Niro's mole is still prevalent underneath all the makeup.
It's like Weird Al Yankovic said in that song about getting a giant TV, Robert De Niro's mole has got to be 10 feet wide.
Oh, my Lord.
Oh,
man.
Yeah, I'd say irredeemable, you know?
Yeah, there's nothing worthwhile about it. They could burn the negative. I
Max Landis's Victor Frankenstein is better than this.
Oh, my God.
You are pulling a long bow there, my friend. a long, long bow.
I will be astonished if No Time to Die is worse than this, and No Time to Die is going
to
suck.
No Time to Die is going to be... I think No Time to Die might kill James Bond.
It will. I think you're right. Yeah,
it's over.
I think so. I will be. It may be time to die.
Time nice to ride, die, Commander Bond.
Yeah, it's over.
Yeah, it took nearly 50 years for it to die. Oh, yeah, nearly 50 years, but it's 60. Sorry, it's fucked. Bye bye.
Yeah,
and
it's sad.
But you know what? That's it. You know.
Yeah. Well, I kept saying while I was watching A View to a Kill in a Theater, this series needs to die. Oh, man, took years and years.
It takes forever, you know.
Yeah. You can think as much as I talk about the Bond movies, they'd have been dead already, but no.
Yeah, I know. John can't kill him.
I kill that stuff dead.
Kills everybody else, but not...
Not happen.
Not this. I hope one day we get a accurate Frankenstein film, but I will say nothing beats Universal and Hammer Frankenstein movies.
At least they're entertaining movies.
They're fantastic.
Yeah,
I'll give you something. I've never seen a Hammer Frankenstein film.
What?
No, I haven't.
Oh, Stu, let's do some on the show.
I own a few because I just collect Hammer films, but because I pick them up very cheap. But I never seen one. Dracula, yes. I've got all those, and I've seen all those.
Okay, and I think that the Frankenstein movies are better than the Dracula ones, personally.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, because I really like
the Dracula.
What about
you, John? What do you think?
It's a mix, but I think overall the Frankenstein movies are holding up better for me because the Dracula films, this is how I am with Hammer. The stuff I liked when I was a kid, I don't like as much now. And the stuff I didn't like as a kid, I enjoy a great deal.
What do you think's the best Frankenstein Hammer one?
You know, when I watched Frankenstein Created Woman for the show, I was astonished.
Yeah, we did that one on the show. That's a great movie.
Which I didn't like so much when I was a kid.
No, there's no monsters in it.
Right. And Curse of Frankenstein, I think, is really good. I think that's terrific. And those are the two. And Frankenstein Must Be Destroyed is very, very good.
Frankenstein Must Be Destroyed is wild. That's a
I think I have that one.
Yeah.
I think it's one of the ones I picked up cheap. I know I have. I have Frankenstein, the Monster from Hell? I'd have to honestly check.
That one's pretty bad.
Frankenstein, the Monster from Hell. The monster's played by David Darth Prowse. Vader. David Prowse. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
He also played him in Horror Frankenstein as well.
Is he in his pink shorts lifting weights?
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
No, he should have been.
He looks like a gorilla in it. But yeah, Frankenstein Created Woman is great. But the thing about the Hammer ones is there's less emphasis on the monster and more on the doctor.
Yeah, the doctor is the bad guy.
Yeah, like Dr. Frankenstein is a deranged maniac and he's the main character. And that's what I love about him. You know, Evil of Frankenstein is fun too. The one that kind of takes more cues from the Universal ones.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one in years.
Yeah. That's
Freddie Francis directed that, I think.
I think you're right. I think he could do it.
Later, Martin Scorsese's DOP.
Yeah, Scorsese's a big fan of Frankenstein Created Woman. He talks that one up a lot.
He loves Hammer movies. He absolutely adores that stuff.
He loves Baba films, too. He was like...
I really like... Oh, he always talks about Baba. Oh, I use the color like Baba.
And he goes, I tried to shoot Taxi Driver like a Mario Baba film.
Yeah. You know, all those director guys, the boomers, they love their Baba.
We should do another Hammer Frankenstein movie because we did Frankenstein Created Woman ages ago.
Yeah,
but we should do
was
like
I on that one.
No, I don't think so. Too? I think about okay. I don't. I don't think you were because you haven't seen it. So
I thought he was.
My memory's jaded.
Maybe he was. I don't know.
I really thought. I thought Stu was on that.
We have to go back and look.
Oh, then I could be wrong. I'm just an update. 215 people been arrested so far today in the protests.
Sweet. Did Nez just tell you that?
No, surprisingly, no. I just saw it on the
I'm hoping Nez will message you and go, hey, some bloke got busted down the corner from you.
Yeah, probably, yeah. he knows Victorian politics or Australian politics better than I do. I'll be back in a sec, boys.
All right.
I'm going to check my Frankenstein shelf.
Yeah, go check it. But yeah, Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, not good.
No, bad film.
Mm-mm.
Not a good movie. And just like, I was actually surprised it was released. It is the type of film, I swear, a studio would just shell to bury and not even bother to release.
And it made money, too. Like, yeah. It cost, let's see here.
Cost like 11 million and it grossed like 22 million or something.
I see 45 million and it grossed 112.
Oh, really? That's global, though.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. That's got to be global.
Yeah. And it's got the Arctic stuff, which is cool.
Yeah. That's in, have you seen the TV movie?
Yeah.
True Story, The Untold Story, whatever the hell.
I've seen the one. Is that the one with Randy Quaid?
No, this is the one with Michael Sarrazin.
No, I haven't seen that one. I probably own it. I own like
Jane Seymour is in it. It was a TV movie. It was like, it's almost like 3 hours long. Tom Baker
before he was Doctor Who. I own that one. I've never seen it.
It has the best Arctic stuff I've seen. I have not seen the Randy Quaid
version. The Randy Quaid one's good. It's worth watching.
It's not easy to find. I think
I've Warner Archive put it out.
Did they?
Yeah.
All right. Well, if they ever have a sale again through Amazon, you know, $10 each.
Yeah, I remember they put it out a few years back, and I snapped it up when.
Okay. Yeah, I've never seen it, so that's something to check out. I also never saw The Bride with Sting and Jennifer Beals.
Oh, I've never.
Yeah, most people haven't seen that when they forgot about it.
The Bride. It's just called The Bride.
The Bride. It was a Frankenstein movie. With Sting and Jennifer Beals, and it was like a remake of The Bride of Frankenstein.
Oh my gosh, I gotta check this out.
Yeah, it was a big bomb back in the mid '80s. I think it was Beals' second film after Flashdance.
It's directed by Frank Rodham.
Yeah.
Oh man, let's see here. Yeah, there's a Blu-ray out of it.
It has a Blu-ray. Whoa.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, we'll check that out.
I've never seen it.
All right, so the ones I've got, The Horror of Frankenstein.
See?
Frankenstein Created Woman, Frankenstein the Monster from Hell.
Okay. Horror of Frankenstein, that's the one that doesn't have Peter Cushing in it.
It's got Ralph Bates.
Yeah, that's the weird one.
And David Prowse is also the monster for the first time, I think.
Hmm. Well, that's what I've got. I'm not going to apologize for what I've got.
Curse, Evil, and Frankenstein Must Be Destroyed. All very good. Very good.
Yeah.
I was thinking when I was watching this, I need to watch all of those again. You know? What do you think of Horror Frankenstein, John? I watched it a few years ago.
It's actually the first Hammer Frankenstein I saw.
Really?
Yeah. I stayed up late when I was like 5 years old to watch it on like New Orleans television at 11 o'clock at night or something, and watched it and was disappointed because it's not something you appreciate as a kid.
No,
you know, you like it a little more when you're older because of the cleavage and all that stuff. But you know, I just thought it was weird. It may have been the first Frankenstein movie I saw outside of Abbott Costello Meet Frankenstein.
I just remember it having a strange ending.
Like it is weird. You know, it's like, a kid pulls a lever and the creature's hiding in some tank, and the kid pulls the lever and the creature falls into the acid tank or something and burns up.
Yeah, it's very bizarre.
Yeah, it's real stupid. It's like it's a total passive aggressive ending for a Frankenstein movie.
I got the Blu-ray of Curse of Frankenstein from Warner Archive. So I need to watch that one again. I may this October do another Frankenstein marathon of those.
Yeah, that's
Hammer
one of the
ones.
Best and yeah, you can't go wrong with it.
Christopher Lee is the monster.
Mm-hmm. I think it's better than Horror of Dracula. I think we kind of.
What was the second Frankenstein with Peter Cushing? That one's kind of not as good.
Revenge of Frankenstein.
That one was just okay.
There's no monster. He's like a grave robber.
Yeah.
He's kind of dull.
Yeah.
It's given away on those Columbia, you know, 10 Hammer movies.
Yeah, it's on all of those. Yeah, it's on all of those. Yeah, that's how I saw it.
You can't ask for much money for that. It's not Captain Kronos.
It's not. Hunter. Yeah, it's not bad. I just remember thinking, compared to the other ones, it's like forgettable, you know?
Yeah, it's boring.
But yeah, those Hammer ones and the Universal ones, I love watching all of them. Like, I'll just do one a night, you know?
Yeah, well, one to check out is the Swiss or the Swedish Irish co-production, Victor Frankenstein or Terror of Frankenstein. I'll put the link up on in the group probably in a week or something.
Yeah, there's so many of these movies. You know, like Thomas Edison did a Frankenstein movie. My goodness.
Yeah, it's 10 minutes long, I think. Oh,
yep.
The Watermark edition.
Yeah, Edwin Dedlaff.
Fucking idiot.
Yeah, Charles Ogilvie played the monster in that one.
Yep.
Which is actually good. I actually liked it.
Actually, fun. Looks like Helena Bonham Carter as well.
Yes,
yes it does. Helena Bonham Carter with a bigger hump in her back.
Yeah.
Even slouchier shoulders.
Can we rate this piece of shit?
Yeah, all right. Stu, what do you give it since you're so eager?
Two.
Two? Okay.
Yep.
John, what do you give it?
I give it a two. That's what I said last night when I watched it with the wife. It was like, that's a two. The worst film I've seen this year. Until the new James Bond.
I'll give it a three. Slightly more generous.
You're so forgiving. I can't think of one time you've given a film less than John or I.
Yeah, I'm a little more.
Why are you so forgiving?
I guess I grade on a curve, you know. I'm the nice guy.
Because he's got the Branagh shelf and he doesn't want
it. Exactly. I got the Kenneth Branagh shelf and I just can't. Yeah. I can't hate him too much. No, I give it a three.
Cousin
like,
Branagh shelf.
You know, it has decent production design. It has some decent things about it. It's a bad movie. You know, a three is still an abysmal score, you know?
It's still too nice for this thing.
Yeah. It is. Yeah, I agree.
It's awful. Anyway. All right. You got anything to plug, John?
Not this week. We'll have some.
We'll have some stuff soon. Stu, what about you?
I never have nothing to plug because everybody hates me. So
that's right.
What am I going to do?
Well, and you're in a concentration camp. You're not able to leave. So
they hated me before all this started. So what does it matter?
take the opportunity, Stu. You should be doing like a Hanna-Barbera side podcast or something.
That's right.
Talk about rare Hanna-Barbera cartoons.
Hey, John, there's a little thing called time. You sort of need it, you know.
I know, but I figure with like the Yellow Vest Riot. You guys are having stuff, you know, you might have some time.
Well, I'm still working, so
yeah, right. That's true. You're still essential.
Editing fucking two episodes a month of this, and you'd like more.
All right.
I told you earlier on, humorous Stuart is not available today.
Not available.
Don't push those buttons, John.
Yeah, Stu's Hanna-Barbera views. I can see it now.
I actually could if I had the fucking time.
All right. Well, we'll try to see when you get the time, you know, when everything settles down, if our world ever recovers.
You hear that sound, Hunter? That's called backpedaling at furious pace. I'm just kidding. Honestly, I'd like to do a Hanna-Barbera one, just, you know, on the side or do something. I've actually got an idea for one called Versus, but I don't think you boys would be interested. If you do, we could do it, where it's actually... And I didn't know this existed. And just before you groan, please hear me out. It is a film called Roller Coaster from 77. Then we review Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park again. And then we review the two-part Wonder Woman episode from 79, The Phantom of the Roller Coaster, because they're all actually the same story.
Weird.
Yeah. I didn't know that until I read a Kiss book I bought because it's me, called A Conversation with Phantoms. It's a book about the making of Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park. And the author brought it up. I thought, that's really interesting. And, of course, I own Phantom of the Park. And I found Roller Coaster and that two-part Wonder Woman episode. But they're all ostensibly the same story. Roller Coaster was first. Phantom of the Park pinched from Roller Coaster. Wonder Woman pinched from Phantom of the Park and Roller Coaster.
Weird.
But, yeah. So I was thinking about doing it as a Stu's view because honestly, only for the fact that I didn't think you two boys would want to sit through Phantom of the Park again.
No, I can't sit through it again.
I didn't think so, yeah.
Yeah.
So, but that's an idea I've got for a Versus, and I'll have to break up into parts and recording parts and, you know, meld them all together. But yeah, look, you know, next week's going to be a bit more easier for me. It's just this week's been absolutely full on. But, yeah, I'll get something out.
Good. All right, guys. Right. Well, if that's it, I'm going to go ahead and say adios.
I'll say peace out.
Mahalo.
Thank you for listening to the Midnight Movie Cowboys. For more information, go to www.midnightmoviecowboys.com. For feedback, comments, or show suggestions, go to midnightmoviecowboys@gmail.com. Like what you hear? Head on over to iTunes and leave us a review. Hear us on Stitcher Radio. Head over to Stitcher.com and download the app. Want to help the show out? Head on over to www.midnightmoviecowboys.com and hit the PayPal donate. We appreciate all donations of any denomination. Find us on Twitter at MMCowboys. Like us on Facebook. Head over to Facebook.com. Type in Midnight Movie Cowboys. Hit the like button over there. Want to friend us personally on Facebook or follow us on Twitter? Go to www.midnightmoviecowboys.com and find the links from there on the right-hand side. Thanks for listening. See you all next week.